Good morning. Did you know that Jesus isn't in the grave anymore? Did you know that? Okay, he's alive. Our God is alive. He sits at the right hand of the Father and is interceding for us. And amazing. This is who we've come to worship this morning, Jesus Christ, who paid the price for us on the cross. And so we praise and give him honor and glory this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Galatians chapter 3. If you're visiting with us this morning, we are walking through the book of Galatians. We are an expository preaching church, which means we don't just pick and choose passages here and there and walk through them. We go through entire sections of text, and so we have been going through the entire book of Galatians. We did take a break at Christmas time, Advent, to look at the coming of Christ and that he's coming again, and so now we are back into the book of Galatians, and we are at the very end of chapter 3, so we're going to be in Galatians chapter 3, verses 25 through 29. Last week, we were reminded again in Galatians concerning the curse of the law, which was, if you look up at Galatians chapter 3, verse 10, we see that for those who are under the law, for all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. That's not a good thing. So why were they under a curse? Why are we under a curse? Because in order to receive the blessings of the law, what the Jews had to do is they had to abide, and it says this in verse 10 as well, abide by all things written in the book of the law and to do them. Okay, so here's the problem. Why was this a curse? Because nobody can ever do everything written in the law, okay? Because we are born into sin. To receive the blessing of the Lord under the law, a person would have to do 100% of everything, every little detail. And so what we see is that was not possible because we were born into sin because of the sin of Adam and Eve, right? So we're born into that sin. And so God's people were given the law, but it actually became a curse to them because they could not fulfill it. So for God's chosen people, the Jews, and according to verse 23 that we looked at last week, God's people were held captive under the law. They were imprisoned by the law. The law became like a guardian outside, holding them prisoner, also pointing out over and over their sin. And so they were discouraged because they could not fulfill the law. And so the law was a curse. It was like a guardian, always pointing out, reminding them of their sin, reminding them of the dead end sign down the road of the law. Okay, so this is kind of where we are in this chapter. But here we go. The good news is this. There was good news, okay? For God's people, for God's chosen people, the Jews, what the law did for those who loved God, because there were those Jews that loved the Lord. They loved God, and they brought their sacrifices, and they were discouraged, but there was the good news about it. It brought in them a longing for the advent of the Messiah. It brought with them a yearning for salvation, a longing for the Messiah to come and set them free from being held captive under the law. Those who loved God listened to the prophets. They longed for salvation from the curse of the law. The law, the guardian, pointed God's people to their need for a Savior. And that was what was good about the law. It said it pointed everything to Jesus Christ. Verse 24 sums that up. So then the law was our guardian, and here's the key part, until Christ came in order that we might be justified by faith. And so we see this morning as we move into the very tail end of chapter 3, we see that faith has come. Christ has come. That's the good news, okay? Christ has come. Here's some more good news. And in Christ, there is salvation for all who believe. There are no more barriers, okay? This is the good news for all of us. I hope that you've come this morning for good news, okay? Because there's good news. There's hope. And here's the good news. There are no more barriers based on where you're from. There's no more barriers based on whether you're male or female. There's no more barriers based on skin color. There's no more barriers based on how much money you have or don't have or whatever it is. There is salvation in Christ for all who believe. If you've come looking for some hope and good news in this crazy, messed up, broken world, then God brought you here this morning because there is good news from God's word. And it's right here in the book of Galatians. Let's read verses. We're going to start in verse 23, even though we're in verses 25 through 29, but let's kind of back up just a little bit and finish and read through the end of this chapter. So verse 23 says this, "Now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then, the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith." Here we are this morning, verse 25. "But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise." There's some major good news in that passage. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to us through your word. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray that the Holy Spirit would reveal to us your truth this morning. I pray that you would be calling those to salvation this morning. I pray just thanksgiving for your love for us, for sending your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for this opportunity and the freedom that we have to come and worship as the body of Christ, praising you for your love for us, for sending your Son, Jesus. Lord, speak to our hearts this morning. And it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Okay, so as we look at verses 25 through 29, as we see this, we're going to see this phrase, and that's kind of what we're talking about this morning. These two words, in Christ. Has anyone ever heard those two words uttered before? In Christ. Okay, so if you've been in any doctrinally sound Bible preaching New Testament church for very long, then most likely you have heard those two words, in Christ. But I think some of us, we just need to be reminded, what does that really mean? Because we say it all the time as a believer. Okay, you've followed Christ, you've put your faith in Christ, you've been saved. We hear those phrases too, and then we say, now that you're a believer, you are now in Christ. Okay, so we go, yeah, I'm in Christ. But what do those two words mean? Paul reminds us in verse 23 of what our lives are like apart from Christ, okay? So that he does that. Last week we saw that. He gave us this picture of what our lives are like apart from Christ. We are held prisoner by our sin. We are dead in our sin. That's hard for us to kind of, you know, fathom sometimes, but before Jesus Christ, before a relationship with Christ, we are dead. We are dead in our sin. We are held prisoner by our sin. The Jews were held captive under the law. The law was a curse to them, not a blessing, because they could never fulfill the law. For the Jews, they were held prisoner by the law. But here's the good news. God did not intend for this situation for his people to go on forever. He had a plan. See, God's people were held captive under the law until the coming of faith would be revealed. There was a plan. Out of God's love, he had a plan, and it was to send his Son, Jesus Christ. And so the great turning point in history was the coming of Christ. Do we agree with that? The great turning point in history was the coming of Christ. This is why one of my favorite quotes that I've shared many times by Charles Spurgeon is this. He says, "The cross is the focus of all human history. I was almost going to say it is the center of the life of God, if such a thing can be. All the ages meet in Calvary. Jesus is the central son of all events. This is the big deal. Christ coming. This was the turning point in history. What matters is Christ. Because of Christ, everything changes. Here's the deal. Jews who place their faith in Christ come out from under the curse of the law. That's the good news for God's chosen people, the Jews. And the Gentiles, like us, who were separated from Christ, who we were not under the covenant, that the old covenant, we were not under that covenant, but we were separated from Christ, we were strangers to God's covenants, we had no hope. Now, by the amazing grace of God, we can become, as verse 26 states, sons of God through faith. That's good news. Amen? Amen. This is God's plan. This is his love, his encouragement, his truth. Everything changed when Christ came. Everything changes. All history points to Christ on the cross, and then that he did not stay dead, that he rose from the grave. For Jews who believed in Jesus, they came out from under the curse. For Gentiles who were completely separated from God's covenant, we now, by his amazing grace, can be called sons of God through faith. So we ask the question again, how? And the answer comes again in the form of two words, in Christ. In Christ. As I was studying this and reading and looking at the history and the commentaries and just kind of diving into these two words, a better and a deeper, more theological way that we could state this would be to be incorporated into Christ. That sounds very theological, right? What this means is to be included, brought into. I think everyone in this room can understand the reality and emotions and our longing to be included in something, right? Can we agree with that? I mean, we can be the shyest person in the world, we can be an introvert, or we can be over here on the other spectrum and be super outgoing and totally extrovert, but all of us, no matter where we are on that spectrum, we long to be included, don't we? Okay? And it all starts when we are little and we're in gym class or PE, and we all get put on the wall, right? And then two captains are chosen. And here we are waiting to play basketball, and these two people out here are going to choose if we're on a team or where we are on the team. I mean, it starts in those moments, and we're just all sort of like, I want to be on the team. I want to be included. And, you know, we want to be picked first or maybe in the middle of the pack. Nobody wants to be picked at the very last, right? I mean, but it all starts there. We get excited about to be invited to a birthday party, to be invited and included in something with our friends. We long to be included. It doesn't change. It continues when you're 46 and you're out in the church gym and you're up against the wall hoping that the high school boys will pick you to be on their basketball team. I mean, it's still there. We long to be included. We long to be included or incorporated into a conversation at the dinner table, right? To be part of something, to be invited to go somewhere. You know, we think about being incorporated into something that to be invited into. For years and years, for some reason, we're infatuated by the royal family, and you imagine those that are marrying into that family. They're then incorporated into that family. To be in Christ means to be included. A person in Christ becomes a son or daughter of God. John 1:12 sums this up beautifully. Write these references down. Go back and study them. Meditate on these verses. This is part of you growing in Christ as you have your devotional time. Take notes, but listen to God's word. John 1:12 says this, "But to all who did receive him, who believed name, he gave the right to become children of God." That's a big deal, isn't it? That's a big deal. To be included and brought in, grafted in, incorporated into God's family. And because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, we now get to call God the Father, God of the universe, God who created everything, God of the universe, we get to call him Abba, Father, Daddy. That's personal. That's an intimate relationship because of what Jesus Christ did. For all who receive him, for all who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Paul, as he's talking to the Galatian church, the churches in Galatia, he goes on in verse 27 as he's talking about what it means to be in Christ. Look at verse 26. It says, "For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith." And then in verse 27, he says this, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." There's a couple of things in this one verse, verse 27, if you're kind of following along here in verse 27. Paul says, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ, you have now put on Christ." What's happening in this verse? There's a couple of things that I want to point out. First of all, and listen very carefully. Children, listen very carefully, because many of you have been baptized in the pool that we go to in the summer. Many of you as adults have been baptized. First of all, Paul is not stating here that to be in Christ, one must be baptized. Okay? He's not saying that. He's not saying that this symbolic picture of baptism saves you. But here's what he is saying, and we need to understand this as the church today in 2020. We need to understand that baptism was extremely important to the early Christians, okay? It wasn't something where when someone was saved that then 5 or 10 years later they'd think, well, maybe I ought to get baptized. See, it was all together. When they were saved, they knew the importance of baptism. It was there together, repentance and faith, conversion and baptism. It was considered a single event because when they were saved, they knew their life was changed and they immediately wanted to go share that with the church to be baptized. Which is why in several places in Scripture, we see this idea of salvation and baptism together, okay? And some of us probably are confused by that sometimes, and some people have taken that out of context and said, well, you must be baptized to be saved. No, we know that's not true because of who. There's a very key event with Jesus. It was at a very pivotal point in history, and it was Christ was on the cross, and who was next to him? A thief who said, I want you to remember me. And he said, you will be with me in paradise. He didn't say, let's see if one of these soldiers can get us down so we can get you baptized so you can be saved. No, he said, yeah, you trust in me. You're saved. But for the early church, they said, you know what? We want to show and share the picture of what Christ has done in our life. So it was all there together. So when Paul is saying, for as many of you as were baptized, he's not saying, well, baptism saved you. But that was all a single event. The baptismal waters, and for us, the community swimming pool waters, they have no power to save us, right? Dipping into the chlorine doesn't save us. It's Christ who saves, right? Amen? It's only Christ who saves. But baptism is such an important step in the believer's life as a testimony and a picture of being in Christ, incorporated into Christ. And here's what happens when we are saved. Here's what happens when we are in Christ. Christ gives us a new identity. A new identity in Christ. Look at that last half of verse 27. We have put on Christ. I think that's a cool phrase there. In Christ, believers have put on Christ. In Christ, in faith in Christ, salvation in Christ gives those who believe a new identity. 2 Corinthians 5:17, write this down. If you're a believer, it says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. In Christ, we are given a new identity. Anyone growing up play dress up, put on costumes? Anyone? Raise your hand if you have. Okay, thank you. Does anyone still like to do that? Yeah, I do. I did. I loved it, and I still do. And thankfully, Gabe lets me go with the youth group to Falls Creek, so I can still put on cool costumes. But man, in high school, I loved homecoming week because it was theme days, right? And I grew up in the 80s, the late 80s, and so in the late 80s, you know, it was cool to go, you know, we had 70s disco days or whatever, and I loved going to the thrift stores and finding old leisure suits and then topping it off with just the right wig. I mean, it's really dependent upon the accessories that you do. You got to own it. You got to think about those things, those details. But I was the king of outfits, and still to this day, my collection of wigs is pretty legendary. I mean, really, it is. But here's the deal. The more real the wig and the more confident that I wore the outfit, the more people believed in my made-up identity. They're like, oh, this must be really him. This is really Hugh, you know. Especially if it was just off enough, you know. One of my favorite stories is when I was walking around Falls Creek, our youth camp, and this was many years ago. And I was in one of my outfits, and I saw this group of kids off in the distance, and they were all huddled, and they were talking, they were pointing at me. And then finally, they all run up to me, and they start feeling my wig. And one kid's like, see, I told you that his hair was real. And I was like, I pulled it off. They were touching the wig and then saying, see, I knew his hair was real. So I think that was so cool. To me, I was like, I did it. My new identity, I pulled it off. I was confident enough. But you see, that was made up. Those costumes aren't the real me. And I really do take those off, you know, later on. But here's the deal. What Christ does in our lives, it's a supernatural thing. It's not just putting on a costume and then taking it off later. It's a supernatural difference. It is a brand new identity. When we trust in Christ, when we are saved by his grace, he gives us a new identity. We are now in Christ. We have literally put on Christ. We have laid aside our old self and we have been given the righteousness of God. That's a huge thing. And that's why when people say, how do I know if my brother or sister is a Christian? How do I know if my friends at school are Christian? How do I know if my coworker is really a Christian? They talk about, you know, believing in God, but how do I know? And that's why we look at the fruit. Is there fruit in their lives? Because if they're truly a believer in Jesus Christ, there will be evidence of a new identity. Does that mean that they're perfect all the time or that we don't sin? No. We still struggle, and Paul talks about warring with our old self. But there will be evidence of a new identity in our life. And that is why when we're, as believers, when we sin, we say things like, that's not really me. That's not me. I'm not being who I really am in Christ. That's my old self. That's how I acted when I was not in Christ. In Christ, we are given a new identity. Paul moves on in describing this new identity in verse 28. Look at verse 28. Because we're in Christ, because we've put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. You see, the barriers that were once there under the old covenant are now gone because of the coming of Christ. It doesn't matter if you are Jewish or Gentile because of Christ. It doesn't matter what color of our skin is. It doesn't matter if we're male or female. It doesn't matter what part of the world that we are from. It does not matter how much money we have in the bank or we don't have. It doesn't matter what language we speak. I'm going to get real personal here. It doesn't matter if you're Republican or Democrat or independent. It doesn't matter what denomination. It doesn't matter if you prefer King James, NIV, ESV, those things don't matter. What matters is Christ. What matters is Christ. The decisive identity of who we are in Jesus is Christ. Now, God made us unique. He gave us different personalities. Our uniqueness and our wonderfully made personalities, those don't change. Our passions and our gifts, our skin color doesn't change. The fact that I am a man and God cut me out to be a man, that doesn't change. But again, those who put their faith in Christ, those who put on Christ, Christ is now the decisive thing about who we are. Does that make sense? What matters is Christ. If you're a woman, you're still a woman. If you're a man, you're still a man. If God has given you a desire to do these things, he's given those to you so that you can bring glory to God through those things in your life. But all those barriers, what matters about who we are is Jesus, if we are in Christ. I think one of the most beautiful human pictures of this is adoption. I think it's just a beautiful picture of Christ's love for us and Christ being in Christ and being brought into the family of God. You see, when a child comes into a new family, they are given a new identity with that family. They become the son or daughter of that family. The place or part of the world in which they come doesn't change. The color of their skin doesn't change. But they have a new identity with that family. They're brought in. And that's such a beautiful picture of what Christ does for us. In Christ, we are adopted into God's family. Ephesians 1:5, write this verse down. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. Believer, if you're a believer in Jesus, he has chosen you. He has pursued you in his love. He gave his son the ultimate sacrifice so that we would not be imprisoned by the law, by our sins. He gave his son Jesus to set us free from death and from bondage. If you know Jesus Christ, we say amen, amen, praise the Lord, praise Jesus, right? Amen. Aren't you thankful that he pursued you, he chased after you with his love? He chose you. He sent his son to die for you. And in faith in Christ, for those who are in Christ, we have put on Christ. We have been given a new identity. Now, in Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male or female, for you are all in Christ Jesus. And you're like, that's good news. Well, guess what? There's more. There's more. Look at verse 28. Look at verse 29. It says this, and if you are Christ's, okay, so I mean, we've been saved, we've been brought out of darkness, we've been brought out of death, we've been brought out of slavery, we've been brought out of imprisonment. And then he goes on and says in verse 29, and if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. For those who are in Christ, guess what? We share in the blessings that God promised Abraham. Isn't that awesome? We are heirs according to the promise. We share in the inheritance with Christ. Incorporation into Christ, in Christ, qualifies us to be Abraham's offspring. And therefore, all the promises that God gave Abraham, God made to Abraham, are also for all who come to faith in Christ. That is amazing. That is amazing. Again, to receive these promises does not depend on whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. It doesn't depend on where we come from in the world, whether we're rich, whether we're poor. None of that matters. What matters is Christ. What matters is Christ. This is good news. This is good news. I told you there was good news this morning. And you walked in this morning, and I know a lot of you. I know a lot of your hurts, a lot of your victories. I know some of us, we hide a lot of things too. But you walk in and maybe you're just so, maybe you're hurt. Maybe you're tired. Maybe you're just scared. But there is hope in Jesus Christ. There is hope. There is salvation in Christ. And when we are saved, we are brought into Christ. We are given a brand new identity, and we get to share in the blessings that were promised to Abraham. We get to share in the inheritance of Christ. And so therefore, in Christ, guess what? We can find strength in his promises, because those promises are for us too, right? So when you read the Bible and he promises something to his children, guess what? If you're a believer in Jesus, you are one of those children. You can stand firm on those promises. In this crazy, broken, and at times very scary world, in Christ we can find hope. We can find peace. And we can find strength because we have been adopted into his family. In Christ we now have the right to be called children of God. Isn't that something you want to share to the lost? Isn't that something when your coworkers are talking with you at lunch or before or after a meeting or wherever it is in the parking lot or whatever, and they are just so angry or broken and they're just all the news and all the feeds, they're just so overtaken. It's like, what's happening to this world? Don't you just want to say, I have hope? I have good news for you? To give that to your children, to give that to your friends at school that are just completely overtaken by being, you know, belonging to something, and so they're just searching for friends or popularity or whatever, and there's hurt there and there's drama there. Don't you want to say, I have true hope, I have true peace, and that's in Jesus Christ? Are we going to be a church that takes the gospel into this world? Because this world needs it. And this world is hurting. And I think we forget sometimes, because we are surrounded by believers, we forget what the lost are really feeling. Right? Because we're around each other. And we know the hope, even though we struggle sometimes too, and we struggle with our faith, but we know the hope. We forget sometimes what utter despair people are in, right? I've shared this story many times, but someone that my wife worked with many years ago, this was many years ago, when the world wasn't as crazy, but it's always been crazy. It's always been broken. But I remember her talking to my wife saying, and just almost being in a panic attack because of things that were happening on the news. Like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. She was lost. And she was basing all her hope and strength on just things working out and being better. The only true hope in this broken world is Jesus Christ. What matters is Christ. And if you're a believer in Jesus, you can find strength in his promises because you are you are an heir of the inheritance of the blessings of Christ. This is good news. I hope that you've heard the news. I hope you heard the hope this morning, because it's from Christ. It's from God's word to you. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for the hope that you can only bring. Thank you that the barriers have been broken because of the cross. Thank you that anyone who believes can become children of God, given the right to be called children of God. Let us as believers understand that we have a new identity in Christ, that we have put on Christ. Let us worship you this morning. Let us thank you for that. And let us take that good news into this lost world. And for those that you are calling, for those that you are pursuing. Lord, I know that they know that, and I pray that they would come to you this morning, that they would believe, that they would be saved. Lord, we thank you for Jesus. And Lord, we want to continue to worship you this morning, to thank you for who you are and what you've done for us. We love you, and it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.